So last week, we endeavored to do Psalms 92 and 93. We got through Psalm 92 last week, and reminding ourselves that with this psalm, that 92 was a psalm of praise, it was a psalm of trust, and it's the one psalm that we see that this is a song for the Sabbath day. So it's got this specific categorization and a few reminders of this psalm. Verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Remember, we reminded ourselves that thanksgiving's good to give to the Lord. Did you take some time to give him thanks this last week? You know, even tonight in the prayers, I heard some folks, their prayers focused on thanksgiving. We don't give our Lord enough thanks sometimes, kind of all the time. Give him that thanks. Give him the praise. Point to him and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Who's singing praise while they're stuck at the red light and getting some folks to look at you? Come on, sing to Jesus. But truly, sing praise. Don't just have it be when we're here or before prayer. Those are the times that I sing. Sing to the Lord all the time. Sing praise to the King. Sing praise to our King. Then another spot as the psalm ended, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. This is verse 12. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Realizing about where you planted. We talked about that last week. Where do you find yourself planted? And then reminding ourselves that when you're anchored in him, it's going and bearing fruit in old age. Lest I remind again, you never retire from being a child of God, being a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not the point where, well, okay, my retirement papers are in. No. And then when we go to the eternal part, we're going to be worshiping and praising, and he has eternal purposes for us. We're not just going to be Hollywood floating in white light. Oh, no. He's got a plan and a purpose. Rejoice in that and keep running the race. Continue running the race with steadfast diligence. So the charge last week, and it wasn't as set, I forgot to say charge, but the things to reflect on last week were give thanks, give praise, live for the Lord. How'd you do with that? How'd you do with that? Are you giving thanks to the Lord God Almighty? Are you giving praise to him? And thanks and praise, giving it to him by how you live. How about your thought life? How about your phone life? How about every part of your being? How are you doing with that? And how are you doing with living for the Lord? Are you truly living for him? Are you walking with him? Are you walking by faith? Do you recall who he is? His majesty, his goodness, his faithfulness. Now tonight we're going to go on to Psalm 93. And the title of tonight's message will be Child of God, Do You Recall? Part 2, because we didn't finish it last week. So Child of God, Do You Recall? Part 2. And this psalm, reminding you again, this is categorized as a royal psalm. And we're now hitting this portion of the book of Psalms going up to 100, where we're going to have these psalms that really are reminding us that he reigns, he rules, he's sovereign. And brothers and sisters, I just encourage you to be encouraged as we look at this psalm tonight. Because when we look at how powerful our Lord is, how in control he is, I find myself in awe that he wants such an intimate relationship with us. And I mean that intimate, because I think sometimes when we think of the relationship with God, we kind of just, yeah, no, I love the Lord. No, he wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to know you deeply. What is the portrait that we get? The bride of Christ, right? That's what we're a part of, the bride of Christ. That's an intimate knowing. He wants to know everything about us. And it's him who created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That the Lord God Almighty wants that intimate relationship with us. And in this, when we also look at these royal psalms, We have the whole word of God, so we know the millennial reign to come after that great tribulation where we pray, and it's why we go out and share the word to let people know wrath is coming. There's a way that you can not go through that. Give it all to Jesus. But that millennial reign to come. So be comforted, be assured, be strengthened. Realize that he reigns, and realize, brothers and sisters, that the word of God, his words unto us, even these just short five verses matter. Because every word that comes from the Lord God Almighty matters. And with that too matters how our heart receives it. I want to set this up with Deuteronomy chapter 8. Reminding ourselves of Moses' words to the Israelites. And just let's soak this in a little bit and remind ourselves as we then look at the words from the one who reigns. Every commandment, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8, which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And there was a purpose there to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Always a purpose in all things the Lord does. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We see Jesus will bring this back up when he's in the wilderness, and he has his, it is written, this is one of those that he brings up, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. There's an important anchoring on the word of God, on what the Lord God Almighty declares and says. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. There's this purpose and there's the reality. Every word matters, and he took care of you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Because he reigns. He rules. He's in control. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So there's this pointing here, which he's giving this, that there's the spiritual component that matters most, and it's not to get lost in the material, but the Lord does provide what is needed. And we see here, boy, does he have plans to truly provide. Then there's this call to humility that comes in, because there's a tension that goes on, as we know, pride, disobedience. There's this tension that doesn't exist anymore today, right? No one's prideful. That was, anyway. All right, verse 11. Be aware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirst where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. It's that bit of forgetting. All's going well. Everything's great. Look at what I did. No. He reigns. He's in control. And he's the one that does that. And it's to never forget, never to forget the Lord, his word, his judgments, his commands. remembering him. Look at that verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you that this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And there's an application for us because we're not under the blessings and curses thing that was going on at this time, but pride destroys. Pride utterly destroys. We need to remain humble. Why are we looking at this before looking at Psalm 93? God's the king, and there's only one king. And before we look at this text, we need to be able to level set at that place. There's only one king. There's one who's sovereign, one who reigns, one who's in control, the Lord God Almighty. And may we cling to live in his word. May we trust him to meet our needs. And may we remain humble, not forgetting our Egypt. Because there's the physical Egypt, but we all have been taken through our spiritual Egypt. Brothers and sisters, when we think of the reigning of the Lord God Almighty, do you recall your salvation? Do you walk with the Lord God Almighty intimately and tenderly, remembering that moment when you first met him? We did this beautiful exercise at the Mid-Atlantic today when we took communion. Pastor Troy had just opened it up and said, just point and let's remember that time when you knew the Lord. Say where it was or who led you to the Lord, whatever. And you just heard all these things, but it was bringing us back to what I like to remind us, the heart of your salvation. So brothers and sisters, go back there tonight as we then look at this psalm and remind ourselves of the sovereign Lord we serve, of the one who rules and reigns. And he desires intimate relationship with us, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as we dig into this, it's interesting too for us as a body of believers. I'll tell you, out of the mouths of young ones, there's so much, because as we look at this psalm, it's five verses, it's pretty simple. And as we were in Acts 11 and 12, the Lord was reminding us, simplify things. We've made it a little challenging. We've made it a little harder than it needs to be. So we were at Band of Brothers this last week, and Miles was there, which I love that he comes to those and you get his presence. And he was talking about how he likes to pray and he likes to read his Bible. And that one of the brothers who was at the table with us said, well, you know, how do you know to read your Bible? Or how do you know to pray? And he just said, well, we're Christian. We follow Jesus. That's what you do. You read your Bible, you pray. That's what you do. And it was like, amen. It's pretty simple. Because think of when we see Christian in Acts 12. Jesus follow, Jesus people. We follow Jesus and we do that. And then last night, because we had a time of filling with the Holy Spirit and communing with the Lord last night at the conference. And when I came back, Baldrick was up a little bit late because it was his birthday. And so I said, okay, we're going to hang. But in the back of my mind, I was like, Daddy has sermon prep to do. And the Lord let him, well, engage him. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So we talked about the Holy Spirit snuggling in bed. And I said, we're going to do something. We're going to look at this psalm that Daddy's going to be teaching tomorrow. We're going to look at it verse by verse. But we're going to look at a verse and then we're going to pray and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then you're going to tell me what the Lord is sharing in that. So tonight, he's not here, but as we go through this, because I was in awe of some of the things the Lord, even at him, and just young five-year-old, the Lord laid on his heart as we looked at this text. So we're going to see who he is. And as you do, just simply trust him. Simplify it. Don't overcomplicate it. Let's hear the whole text. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. It's a powerful five verses, right? Now, when we see this, we start with this first verse. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Baldrick's thought there, majesty. God is most beautiful, and his clothes is power through the Holy Spirit alone. That's our strength. And we look at this, there's interesting here, the Lord. We get this covenant name, the Lord God Almighty. He reigns. And he is the one who's clothed with full majesty. It's his sovereign character. It's the character, it's the nature of our Lord. He has girded himself with strength. When we look at that girding of strength, we're reminded the armor of God that we get in Ephesians 6. Where did it begin? Isaiah 59, it's his. When he sees there's no one there, he puts that on. He is the one who has all the strength. He's beginning, he's the end. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. And that moved, it cannot be shaken. Realizing he rules, he reigns, there's no shaking or moving it, because guess what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is all his. This first verse reminds us it's all his. He is in control. He is the one in charge, period. Your throne is established from of old. You are everlasting. He's pre-existing. And he's eternal. And it is forever. He's from everlasting. There's great comfort when you just look at these first two verses that point to who our Lord is. Yet we forget it so easily sometimes. Trial comes, tribulation comes, hardship comes, something doesn't go exactly as we want, and we forget that. We forget that. And we, even though we serve the God who has established the world and it cannot be moved, we are moved so much and we have our world moved. How many of you had everything go picturally perfect today? Raise your hand. Everything went according to plan with no changes. Why is no one raising your hand? Because it doesn't. Yet depending what it is for you that went awry, our reactions forget who rules, who's in control, who reigns. Verse 3, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. I said, little man, what does that remind you of? What is the Lord saying there? It's like rough waters come, but Jesus is in the boat. And when he fell asleep, they woke him up and he said, be still, we need faith in God, we need faith in his power. Telling you, the Lord can talk through little ones. I share that to not anything on that, but to say, let us be a people who realize the Spirit of God moves through in and through all. There's no age limit for the power of God. Let's not set boundaries on that. Now, when we look at this, the floods have lifted up. When we look at these floods lifting up, they're raising up. These waters are coming. They're coming up. It's like the circumstances there. Then the floods have lifted up their voices. Now the words of the circumstances coming, the chaos of the circumstance. Now the floods lift up their waves. Suddenly, when that happens, there's all these perceived reality. Think about it. That's how the storm comes, right? You have this thing going on and it starts to be like, okay, circumstances changing a little bit. Okay, now all these thoughts are coming in and it's either my inner monologue or what people are saying or what I'm reading, and now it's getting more. And then you have a perceived reality because you've lost sight of what we just read in verses 1 and 2. You forget he still reigns. He's still in control. Remember how things went down with Job? We look at the book of Job and we somehow forget where it began with, I will let you do this. God is in control. He reigns. He has a purpose in each and every single bit. When we think of that, turn to Mark chapter 4. When we think of an example where we see that storm come, which we can have those storms come. But let's look at this moment when they are in the boat, and let's see what we can glean from a concrete example that we get in the New Testament. So this is Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. So we read there, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Notice what Jesus says here. Let us cross over to the other side. It's interesting because it's not that we read, he said to them, "Perhaps we're going to make it over there. I'm not so sure. We'll give it a valiant effort." No, let us cross over to the other side. When the Lord God Almighty says to you, let's dot, 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 do you walk with faith and obedience because he reigns and he rules? Or do you let the flood change and make you forget what he said? Look at verse 36. "Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him." So not only has he said, let us go, but he's with them. And they've seen, he's done a lot of wonderful, miraculous things they've seen. Okay, we're good. He's with us. I don't know about you, but knowing everything we know about Jesus, if Jesus was in a boat with me, I'd be like, okay, let's go. Where are we going? "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." There's those floods. There's that circumstance changing. There's the, what is the inner monologue? We're going to die. This is the end. The inner monologue starts going, and there's a perceived reality. Life is threatened here. "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" What woke Jesus up? The voice of his people. Don't miss that. What woke Jesus up in that moment? Not the cuckoo storm, not everything. The voice of his people crying out. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" I love that passage because you get the humanity and the deity of our Savior in one fell thing. He's asleep, and then suddenly God over creation, because what do we just see in verse 1 and 2? He reigns. He is the one who reigns over all. The Lord reigns. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He's girded himself with strength. "Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Then the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves." We see that. But remember what the Lord God Almighty has said. And to each and every single one of us, realize something, brothers and sisters, when your name is added to the book of life, the Lord's going to bring you home to him. He's going to bring us to the other side. And we're in the boat with him. And the Spirit of God dwells in us to lead us and guide us in that boat. So when the storm comes, fear not. He's in control. He's with us. Why fear? Why worry? Why panic? The God of creation is in control and with us. And when we see this, that they have no faith, when Jesus points that, it's forgetting the words he gave. Let us cross over to the other side. Have faith. Every single one of us, we're going to be home with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Contrary to what some folks want to say, well, you might lose it. No, everlasting's everlasting. I'm with him. So trust that. And when the floods come, when the floods lift up, when they lift up their voices, when they lift up their waves, remind yourself of verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Baldrick commentary, Satan tries to fight us. Jesus wins. He's mighty. He's strong. Almighty Alpha Omega. Those are his reflections on that. Almighty Alpha Omega. But amen to that. The Lord on high is mightier. Can we remember that, brothers and sisters? Because I want to be real. There's going to be more storms in all of our lives. There's going to be more trials and tribulations in all of our lives. But don't look to the circumstance. Don't be shaken by that. Remember, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Ever have noise around you in a trial or a tribulation? Ever have crashing things? It's just, no. Remember, he's mightier. He's the God of creation. He's over all. Why have fear? Why have worry? Why have doubt? He is in control. Saints in the house right now, where are you forgetting in your life? God is mightier. What circumstance are you facing right now? Maybe it's a relationship and you just see no change in this relationship and you're trying to cling to what the Lord God Almighty has said, but there's just no change and you're like, I'm going to give up. I can't take this anymore. God is mightier. God is mightier. You rest in him, you trust in him, you lean on him. And it's as we said with the scripture, remember, you ask, what is the scripture you want me to write on my heart, Lord, for this season? And take it and write it on your heart and hold to it. Get those post-it notes, everything. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the rock of salvation, because the house built on the rock, when the storm comes, what does it do? Stands. Force. Coraggio. Verse 5, your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Worship the Lord. It's why you preach at church. We need the word. We need the word of God. When we look at this, when we see your testimonies are very sure, boy, oh boy, does that take a whole other depth of meaning for us with the whole counsel of the word of God. Cherish the word of God. I shared this on Sunday, but I'll share it again. The India update always strikes my heart, and I remind you, please be praying for the seeds that were planted. I know last trip at 6 months, I reminded you to pray for it. I'm going to take 6 months to remind you to pray for the seeds planted. But I still will never forget from, I think it was not this last trip, the one before that, the video footage of these folks in a line just for one Bible for their household. I remember looking at that, and I literally, there was a conviction in the moment. I'm thinking of a shelf I have. I love Bibles. I got so many Bibles. And these people just want one. One. And yet for us, it becomes such a chore. And we take for granted the gift of the word of God. And these testimonies are very sure. Psalm 119, it's a beautiful one to go through, because you see that idea of those testimonies about 50 times through that. We've got to live, we've got to cling into the word, because it reminds us of our faithful King, who he is, what he's done, that every promise is true, that everything is going to come, that the prophecies yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled, because we can look at how many prophecies have already been fulfilled. Hold to it. Those testimonies are so sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. And when we think of the house of the Lord, I want to give us two ideas to this. And we're going to look at Paul's words to do this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When it's talking, and we looked at this recently when we were in Acts, of reminding ourselves that it's the Lord God Almighty who gives the increase to his church. We each do our part within the labor. But when we look there, as he's talking collectively about the church, 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And then when we go a few chapters to 1 Corinthians 6, now this is in the context of sexual immorality, yet an application we need to realize, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's something to realize when we look at this last verse. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. The testimonies are sure. We have the words, be holy, for he is holy. We need to realize we're not to look like the world. And I think that's an area where the bride of Christ struggles a little bit today. We really want to be like the world. Even churches, it's more about, okay, how can we make our church look really, really cool so that people will want to come? When it's like, how about we just do the word of God? And tomorrow we'll work on colors. Because it's pretty obvious. That's what this is supposed to be focused on. So we've got to think about that. We've got to look at that. And then we've got to let the Lord search us, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. Do you recall that? How are you tending to the temple that is the Lord God Almighty? Do you realize and accept the fact you're not your own? Whose are you? Well, the Lord reigns. The first words of our psalm tonight, you're his. And guess what? We were bought with a price. And our spirit, our body, all of it, it's his. It's not ours. So when we realize he reigns, I dare say we then must also look, okay, well, if you reign and rule over everything, how's this house of the Lord? Here's a house of the Lord. 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 We got lots of house of the Lords here. How are they? Are you worshiping? Are you praising? Are you living for him? Are you all in? Where's their compromise? Where there needs to be refining? The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He's girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Holiness in his presence. That's why the Lord God Almighty, when we look at Mark 12:30, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's why, because it's all of us that's got to be all in, all his. And then when we look at that, when we see the assurance that we have, brothers and sisters, we need to then realize there's no need to fear. Don't fear man, don't fear circumstance, don't fear situation, because God is over everything. He's mightier than whatever you may face. And we've got a whole book of the testimonies of his that prove how true and sure he is. A tack that I want to add to this, a pin to put this in, is Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did, the one who reigns, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Reality of duality there. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Makes you think of Galatians 5, works of the flesh are fruit of the Spirit. What are you working with for? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He reigns. And then when we look at his reigning, when we look at the power that he is mightier over any of those floods or storms, neglect not the Spirit of God who dwells in you to give you the empowerment to move forward. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Because the Spirit empowers us unto obedience. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? We live by faith, not by sight. He reigns, the flood comes, walk by faith, he's mightier. And his testimonies are very sure. And holiness adorns his house forever. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, Spirit of God importance. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when we pray in the will of God, praise you, Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit pray when the groanings come. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So not only is he mightier than the flood or the storms that's going to come, guess what? Rest in the fact he's going to work it for his glory, for his good. Just stay obedient. For whom he foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Because he reigns. He's over the storms. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who shall make intercession for us. Resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What comfort, what promises. And then we go back to the text we were in this night. And we see there's a lot of the power, the promises through Christ Jesus. Boy, oh boy, there's so much anchorings in it. because of the deity and the humanity of our Savior, and because of the fact that the Lord God Almighty reigns. His throne's established from old. He's everlasting. Whatever storms may come, he's mightier. He's over it. Through the Spirit of God who dwells in us, he's going to help us pray and make intercession with us. He's going to work it for the good. And no storm, adversity, trial, tribulation, anything that comes is going to be in the way. And when you put Psalm 93 and Romans 8 together, I like then putting that last verse, your testimonies are very sure. If you look at those things and say, okay, well, how can that be? And how could nothing really separate us? Read the Word of God. And you're going to see it's who he is. He's faithful. He's just. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. As you ponder Psalm 93 this week, the charge I encourage is to ask the Lord, where do I need to surrender? And what would you have me do? Where do I need to surrender? And what would you have me do? Because when we look at the fact that he reigns and rules, he's over everything, he's got us in whatever storms or trials can come, he's given us sure testimonies, he's all about the holiness that is all around him, and it is eternal and forever, that should make us say, Lord, I surrender. And ask the Lord, where are the areas I need to surrender, Lord? What's in the way of just walking in full obedience? And Lord, what would you have me do for you? Because when we commune with the Lord God Almighty, when we spend time pondering who he is and communing, may we then be a people who go forth and do the word of God. Live for him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Father God, that you reign. Lord, that you are over all, and Lord, that no flood waters can overtake us. Father, forgive me, forgive us for the times when we can let the storm, Lord, be a challenge. Father, at salvation, we know we're going to get to the other side of being with you forever. Yet, Lord, in the storms of this life, how often we can forget that. Lord Jesus, help us to live with an eternal mindset. Help us to remember the main reason we are here, Lord, to glorify you, to serve you, to know you. For that forever with you, pilgrims, sojourners in this land, help us, Lord, to not forget that. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us each to look to the comfort that comes from knowing you reign. My God, my King, my Jesus reigns. And Lord, in your sovereign ruling and reigning, we need not fear. We need not worry. For you are in control. Lord, you spoke deeply to me through this text about fear. For there need not be fear of man, of circumstance, when we look to the rule and reign of the great I am. For Lord, eyes on you, there is comfort. Lord, we can remember our spiritual Egypt. Lord, we can see your faithfulness. And Lord, may looking spur us to live by your word alone. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, give them travel mercies. And Lord, may each and every single one of us who've walked through this text this night tarry in prayer unto you, our King, for the individual application and action for your glory. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.